Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello everyone, Charles Watts here. Welcome back to Inside Arsenal. It's Tuesday. I hope the week is going well wherever you're watching this around the world or listening to it, of course, on podcast. The sun is shining. It's a glorious day over here in the UK. Horrible yesterday, typical May bank holiday weather in the UK, but the sun is out today. Blue skies. I'm off to the golf course very, very soon. So yeah, looking forward to a nice day. Although, as always, when I play golf, by about the second hole, I'm not going to be looking forward to it. I'm going to be throwing my clubs around and in a very bad mood, I imagine. But still, you live in hope that you have a good round, don't you? But anyway, enough of me and my bad golf. I hope you're all having a very good week. We've got a few things to talk about today. Obviously, a bit of a week off, as is the way now, between now and the end of the season. After all those hectic games, all those midweek matches for the last 3 weeks, it is just weekend, weekend, weekend. And I think that's what kind of adds to the tension in terms of what's going on at the moment with Arsenal, isn't it? You kind of want a game on a Tuesday, on a Wednesday, just to take your mind off things rather than having to think all week about all the what-ifs and all the possible scenarios ahead of the weekend's games. But we've got plenty to talk about. We'll talk about Victor Gyökeres, who's been speaking about his future, of course, a player that Arsenal are, I was going to say, interested in. He's certainly a player who is on the agenda at Arsenal. Whether they actually make a move for him, we'll have to wait and see. But he's a top striker who's scoring plenty of goals. He's on the agenda of plenty of clubs at the moment, and Arsenal is certainly one of the ones who are keeping tabs on his situation. He's been speaking about his future, hasn't ruled out a summer move, not surprisingly, given some of the clubs he'll be looking at Victor Gyökeres. So we'll look at those comments. We've got to talk about Manchester United last night. I don't know, and I was talking to a mate of mine today on the way back from dropping our kids to school. We were talking about this. It's like, is this a good thing or not for Arsenal? What happened to them yesterday at Crystal Palace? I kind of think it might be a bad thing, but we'll still talk about them and kind of about laugh at them as well a little bit later on in the show. Got lots of questions and comments from you. We'll talk about Kai Havertz as well, deservedly named Arsenal's player of the month for April. But we'll start with Victor Gyökeres's comments, shall we? He's been speaking about his future. Now, what a season he has enjoyed over in Portugal with Sporting, helping winning them the title. His first season over there after his move from Coventry last season, scored about 40-odd goals, didn't he, in all competitions. Just a fantastic season for Gyökeres. He's also got lots and lots of assists. Just a top performance. And he's been heavily linked with not just Arsenal, with lots of clubs at the moment. He's got this release clause, about £83 million, I think it is, about €100 million in his contract that he signed with Sporting. And whether any clubs actually trigger that release clause, we'll have to wait and see. But you would suggest if anyone does want to get him out of Sporting, that's probably what they're going to have to do. I can't imagine Sporting are going to be very willing to negotiate a lower fee given the season he has enjoyed and how important he has been to them. But he certainly hasn't ruled out a summer move when asked by the journalists over there in Portugal about his future amid all the links to clubs like Arsenal. He says, stay next season. It's football. It's normal. I can't promise anything. I really like being here, but in football, everything happens very fast and we have to adapt. I can't make so many predictions. It's difficult. There are still games to go this season and then we'll see. So he's very much keeping his options open, as you would expect. Look, if a big, massive club, and I'm not saying Sporting aren't a big club, of course they are. They're one of the top clubs in Portugal. They're Portuguese champions. They're going to be in the Champions League next season. you know, I can't imagine he's going to be absolutely desperate to leave after one season. But, you know, if one of Europe's top clubs comes knocking and is sort of sniffing around activating that release clause, of course he's going to be interested. You know, he's not going to say no to a club like Arsenal, or, you know, I don't know who else has been linked with him, but plenty of clubs have. He'll be very keen on this move, I'm absolutely sure. You know, I've spoken about him before, and I think my view on Gyökeres, and it's probably a poorly judged view, is I just can't get my head around that last year he was playing in the Championship. And I know that makes very little sense, because if he's a good player, he's a good player. It doesn't matter where he's playing. But I just look at him and think, I was watching you in the Championship playoff final less than a year ago in Coventry versus Luton. And now it's going to cost about $83 million to sign you. And I know that's a rubbish view. And it's, you know, that's not taking into account how good he is and the season he's enjoyed. But I can't get that out of my head. Clearly, he's a very talented player. And when I've watched him play, he's got loads of good attributes. And I mean, he was great when he was at Coventry as well. And, you know, brilliant from Sporting to pick him up and see that talent ID and be able to get him. And, you know, if they're going to make big money out of him 12 months later, then congratulations to them. It's a fantastic piece of business. I'm still just very much on the Alexander Isak train at the moment, though. When it comes to all the forwards that have consistently been linked with Arsenal, like Gyökeres, I just look at them. I think they're good. I think they've got good attributes. But I just can't get my head around, that Alexander Isak is the player that Arsenal should sign to bolster their forward line. They should go all out. They should throw the kitchen sink at trying to get him, because I just think he's absolutely perfect for this Arsenal team and what they need to really kick them on next season. Yes, he'd be hugely expensive, massively expensive. Yes, Newcastle might well just say, no, we're not selling. And if that's the case, then obviously you've got to look elsewhere. But I just think he's great. And I also look at the development of Kai Havertz. And obviously, I'm going to talk about Havertz a little bit later on the show, but I look at the development of Havertz in that number nine role. I look at the strengths he brings. And I think, do Arsenal really need another out-and-out night in number nine? Because I think Havertz, the way he's playing at the moment, the way he's developing, I look at him and I just think he's a top quality centre forward at the moment, Kai Havertz. He's bringing everything you want, goals, assists, work rate. He's bringing everything you want and he's making everyone around him better. And that's what you want from your number nine. And I look at him and I just think, do Arsenal need another big, sort of powerful number nine? And I'm not sure they do. I think they need another option, another different option. Then you've got Havertz up there as well, and potentially Gabriel Jesus, because I don't want Gabriel Jesus to go anywhere. I want him to stay this summer. So, yeah, Alexander Isak is the man for me. But let me know your thoughts on it in the comments below. Gyökeres, am I completely wrong? Would you be happy to spend £83 million if that's what's going to cost to sign Victor Gyökeres to bring him to the club? Let me know anything when it comes to your thoughts on the forward line for Arsenal in the comments below. So I was just talking about Kai Havertz there. He's deservedly been named Arsenal's Player of the Month for April, got 42% of the votes cast. It's the second time this season he's been named Arsenal's Player of the Month by the fans. And this one was an absolute no-brainer. He was so, so good in April. I think it was 4 goals, 3 assists in the 6 games he played, and, you know, really big goals as that. But it's not just about the numbers. And that's what I was saying earlier. When you look at Havertz now and what he's bringing to this team, I thought Monday Night Football did a really good piece on him before the game yesterday. Jamie Carragher was talking about him, and Carragher picked up on something that I picked up on as well when I was watching the highlights, and just Havertz's reaction when Trossard scores that second goal, when everyone goes mad, and everyone, it's just that relief of the second goal goes in. You can see everyone run off to start celebrating, and Havertz basically falls to his knees in the penalty area onto his haunches, because he's just so shattered from the sheer amount of work that he's been doing and the runs that he's been making. And he just makes Arsenal a better team in that centre striker role. He's playing so well, and I think he's developing so quickly in that role. And he's still 24. And I still think he's got so much to give. He's such a clever player, Havertz. You know, his football brain is exceptional. You can tell that by what he does and how he operates. And I just think he's going to keep getting better and better playing in that role. And that's why I just think Arsenal's focus going into this transfer window, and I know a lot of you are going to disagree with me, but I just think Arsenal's focus needs to be on someone who can play the central striker role like Isak, but can also play out wide and coming in from one of the flanks, again, like Isak. I just don't think, I've moved away as the season's progressed, and the more I've watched Havertz and the more the season's gone on, I've just moved away from the thinking that Arsenal need just a out-and-out powerful penalty box number nine. And again, I know, as I said, lots of you are going to disagree with me and think, oh, we can't just see a good run by Havertz and then change our thinking in the transfer market. But I think sometimes you do have to be a little bit flexible. I'm not sure if Arsenal will be, but I think you have to be. And what I'm seeing from Havertz right now, there's nothing to suggest to me that he can't go on to score 15, 20 goals next season playing in that central striker role, if that is what Mikel Arteta eventually plans for. But he was absolutely deserving of the Player of the Month award. There was some good performances throughout April. I mean, you look at Arsenal's results, only lost that game against Villa in the Premier League. They were perfect. Other than that, some really big wins, big performances from good players. But yeah, Kai Havertz, absolute deserving that. And congratulations to him, and fantastic to see him doing it so well.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Right, we've got to talk about Manchester United then, haven't we? Absolutely humbled by Crystal Palace. 4-0 last night. Could have been so, so much worse. They were an absolute shambles. There's no other way to describe how bad Manchester United were last night. Casemiro was dribbled past eight times in a single game. I think that's more than William Saliba has been dribbled past in the whole of this season. He was dribbled past eight times in one game last night. Absolute shout. They're so open. You know, again, Palace had more than 16 shots. But, and again, this might be me, the pessimist, talking. I looked at it and I looked at how they played. I looked at that result and I just thought, oh, couldn't that have happened any other time other than a few days before Arsenal played them? A, you would expect there has to be a response from them this weekend. Obviously, they're at home, so it's a little bit different. But there has to be a response from them. When you have those sort of heavy defeats, the next game, you often see a team who have been beaten like that just try and shut up shop and limit the damage. Now, in a way, I'm not sure United can do that because they are Manchester United. They are at home, so I'm not sure it's going to be purely about damage limitation. They've got to obviously go and try and win the game against Arsenal. But I think I'd have rather just a 1-0, normal 1-0 defeat for them rather than 4-0. I don't even know if Ten Hag's going to be in a job by the time Sunday arrives. He shouldn't be, to be fair. I can't believe Manchester United have still got him as manager. And clearly he is not going to be in charge next season. I would be absolutely staggered if he's in charge at the start of next season. Absolutely staggered. But I wouldn't be surprised if he goes between now and that is the type of game that gets a manager sacked 100%. The only thing is, you're so late on in the season, would they just think, sod it, we'll just get through to the end of the season and then we'll make the change rather than doing it now? But that team just looks like a side who have no idea what the coach is asking from them. That's exactly, it's purely a team of individuals. We've seen Arsenal like this before, when it just gets to that stage where they have no trust in the coach. They don't know what he's asking from. They don't understand what he's asking from. They just look like a bunch of individuals running around with absolutely no idea. And then those sort of defeats follow. We've seen it with Arsenal. And that's what I see when I see Manchester United now. And if they play like that against Arsenal on Sunday, then Arsenal should go up there and destroy them. They should. We all know they should. But it is Old Trafford. And I've seen Man United be awful so many times. And then Arsenal go there and somehow not win a game. And Man United win it. It's the one ground out of all of the grounds, even the Etihad, that I have no confidence whenever I walk up towards it. I just have that sinking feeling whenever I walk up through the car park towards Old Trafford, because I've never even seen Arsenal get a draw there. Every time I've ever been to Old Trafford, Arsenal lose, have lost. But I'd be devastated if Arsenal lose to this Manchester United. And you look at them, they're eighth in the Premier League now. If you're looking at that league table, then Chelsea are ahead of Manchester United. Now, it's got a goal difference still of -3. Two games before the end of the season and Manchester United have a minus goal difference. I mean, if that doesn't say everything, I don't know what else does. And you would hope that Arsenal can go there and destroy them. Michael Olise, by the way, yesterday, absolutely fantastic. When I talk about those type of X-factor players who can just unlock a team, they can run at a team, an outrageous piece of skill like the one he did to get past Casemiro to open the scoring yesterday. Yeah, such a good player, Michael Olise, such an exciting talent. Absolutely one I would love to see Arsenal make a move to try and sign. But again, let me know your thoughts on what Arsenal should do, how they should approach that game against Manchester United on Sunday and what you're expecting from it. Okay, just moving on to some of your questions and comments now. Bob Mack here has got in touch. Hi, Bob. You say, hi, Charles. Seems to me that in addition to signing a new number six in the summer, we already have a midfield solution in the squad that no one talks about, Zinchenko. He could be an ideal backup at left eight if we give him the summer training camp to acclimatise to it. We have plenty of left-back talent in Timber, good backup, and we might sign another as well. Time to decisively move Zinchenko from left-back to midfield. What do you think? I've been saying it for a while. Absolutely. I'm really surprised that it's something we've not seen. I'm really surprised. It just doesn't feel like something that Mikel has even contemplated. You know, we see he plays there for Ukraine. He plays there very, very well for Ukraine. Put in some excellent performances. He's got all the attributes he needs to be a top midfield player. And he's shown that. You know, he's a midfield player, basically. He's a midfield player playing at left back. So 100%, I would not be against that. The only thing, and I say it every time this suggestion gets raised, is that there's just been no inclination or seemingly no inclination from Arteta to do it, even this season when, you know, without Timber, there's still been good options at left back. Zinchenko still doesn't come on even for 25 minutes and play in that midfield role that he's perfectly suited to. So, yeah, look, I think it's a really good idea, Bob, but I'm not sure it's one that we're going to see just because past history from Arteta suggests he doesn't really fancy that idea for whatever reason. Here's one from Magoo 909066 says, as frustrating as it is that we are likely to miss out on the league, the team and Arteta deserve massive plaudits. We have had a real transitional period with the likes of Ramsdale, Zinchenko, Partey, Xhaka and Jesus, who were all massive in last season's transformation, playing a lot less of a role or no role for Xhaka. And we could still end up with 89 points, having scored the most goals and conceded the least. Liverpool, fantastic for so many years under Klopp and only managed one league title and even lost it one year with 97 points. The levels needed are absolutely insane now, but I have full confidence that we are still on an upward trajectory and well-positioned to be competing and lifting titles in the year ahead. Yeah, look, I'm exactly the same as you. I have full confidence in the trajectory Arsenal heading, and I think they are absolutely well set to go on and compete for the biggest honours over the next few years. When you look at the age of the squad, you look at the ability of the squad, you look at how they're improving, you look at what we've seen this season. You know, I think Arsenal are the best team in England. I have been the best team in England this season, and I won't change my mind on that, even if Manchester City lose. I think Arsenal will be kicking themselves over some of the results in the first half of the season. But when you look at it, they've scored the most, conceded the fewest, taken 4 points off Manchester City, limited them to two shots on target in the 180 minutes they've played against them, beat them in the Community Shield. They've taken 4 points off Liverpool. And I just think they've been the best team. But ultimately, I don't think that's going to be enough because they've had some silly results at stupid times in the first half of the season. I think ultimately that's cost them, but I have full confidence whatever happens. And like you said, I think considering there has been a massive change this season from the team we saw last season to the team we're seeing this season, how it's moved on so, so quickly. And I think they've done really, really well and they've adjusted to it. Maybe the first half of the season, it took a while to adjust to those changes. And we've seen in the second half of the season, now they do know they are adjusted to it and they are all settled. We're seeing the results that are following. And, you know, I can't wait for next season to start again. It's a shame that this season's finishing when it is because Arsenal are playing so well. But it just leaves me really, really excited about what could be to come next season as well. And Neil says, unfortunately, it isn't guaranteed to go to the last day. If we don't beat United and City beat Fulham and Spurs, then it is done and dusted. Yes, thank you, Neil. Thank you to everyone else who pointed this out again. One of my many errors that I say when I'm rattling away to you guys. Obviously, yesterday I said that I think it was guaranteed that it was now going to go to the final day. But of course, it's not. Of course, it's not. There is still a way that it can be done and dusted. As Neil says, Arsenal have to beat Manchester United. Because if they don't and Fulham win their games against Fulham and Spurs before Arsenal play, then it is done and dusted. Yes, that is correct. Although, no, it is correct. I thought Spurs was after, though. If we don't beat United and City beat Fulham and Spurs, and it's done. When is the Spurs-City game? I thought that was next week. I thought there was another game for City. But anyway, yeah, I think you're correct. That there is a way that it can be it can be done and dusted. But hopefully it won't be, of course, because Arsenal will win at Old Trafford. Fingers crossed. Matthew says, question for you, Charles. As you mentioned that the Riot is a clear upgrade on Ramsdale, do you think if Ramsdale was in goal this season that he would have got the Golden Glove? I absolutely think Ramsdale would have won it. Yes, not as pleasing on the eye on the ball, but he's a better shot stopper. Not much difference between them is my feeling. Probably, I mean, it's a big what. It's just a what if, isn't it? It's all hypothetical. It's impossible to say. But he possibly would have won it because Arsenal's defence has been so great. I'm still not convinced that he's a better shot stopper anyway than David Raya as well. I think that's an argument that some people use, but I'm not sure the numbers and the stats suggest that, back that up when it comes to shot stopping. I think he might well have had a chance given Arsenal's strength in the defence. Like I was saying yesterday, although Raya's got his golden glove, I think he does, the defence and everyone in front of him deserves an awful lot of credit. Obviously, it's the keeper who gets the award. But I do feel that there is a difference between Raya and Ramsdale. I feel much better with Raya and Golden than I did with Ramsdale. But that's not me having a go at Ramsdale, because I thought he was excellent and he played a huge part in getting Arsenal to where they are right now. He's on from Anthony. He says, your biggest Arsenal surprise of the season. Kai Havertz, 100%. Look, I was on the same as most people were thinking when Arsenal signed Kai Havertz. I was like, what's that about? Why have they done that? I could kind of see the idea behind it, but it still felt like a very big risk to spend that sort of money on a player who had pretty much underwhelmed since he'd been at Chelsea, even if he had won them in the Champions League with that big goal in Porto against Manchester City. But yeah, I wasn't sure about it. I wasn't convinced about it. The first couple of months of watching him, I was even less convinced that it was going to work. I was seeing no signs that it was really going to work. But what he's done since then, the quality he's added. I mean, the first half, you could never have a go at his work rate in those first few months when he wasn't really going for him. He was still working so, so hard, and that side of his game was excellent. We always used to point it out and talk about it, but the quality on the pitch, his finishing ability, his passing, his decisiveness on the pitch, all that was lacking. His ruthlessness was lacking, and he's just turned it round in the second half of the season and done it spectacularly. So yeah, absolutely, Kai Havertz is my biggest Arsenal surprise of the season. I think he's been brilliant and he deserves so, so much credit for the way he has performed and settled into this squad. That's it from me, everyone. Thank you very much for watching and for listening. Appreciate your time. As always, I'll be back tomorrow to do it all over again. Anything you want me to discuss in tomorrow's show, please do let me know in the comments below. Until then, everyone, have a fantastic day. I'll speak to you soon. Bye-bye.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.